chapter 3 of Colossians. Let's begin with verse 19. Like I said, I just want three verses here, I think. Verse 19, 20, and 21. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. A lot of you know Elder Gary Harvey. He's been here a couple of times, and maybe you've been other places and heard him preach. And I mentioned to you last weekend, the last week or so, that Brother Gary and I were invited to Bethany Church in Atlanta to preach their annual meeting that began on Friday night. Brother Gary and his family, his wife, Sister Becky, his two boys, John and Seth, they all came over Thursday evening from Arkansas and spent the night with us Thursday night. And they visited in our homes in the past, and we've been around them a few times over the last few years. Come to greatly love and appreciate the family, and especially appreciate Brother Gary's gift and his preaching. But I'm always ashamed whenever we spend time around Brother Gary, because he's always speaking so fondly and so lovingly and so highly of his wife. And it puts me to shame, because I don't do that like I should. But he's always, and he's sincere, and he's not just doing it just to be heard or to make a show. So that was the case also this visit. It never fails. Every time he comes around, he puts me to shame the way he treats his wife compared to the way I treat mine. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, that is, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Verse 21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. I wanted to read those few verses so that you could see how similar they are to this passage here in the book of Ephesians, and we'll turn there, because in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, and on into the first part of chapter 6, uses very similar language and then expands a little bit on each one of those. If you are a father, if you are a husband, if you plan to be, if there is the possibility that you'll be a husband or father one day, men, we have a great responsibility. We have a lot of hard work before us. Let me share a thought with you that, especially for you younger men, and for you who now are fathers and husbands or have children perhaps still in the home, how we fulfill our responsibility as husbands and fathers will largely determine how well your wife and your children fulfill their roles. And it will largely determine whether or not your family honors the Lord. That's how great of a responsibility we have. How you fulfill your responsibility, how I fulfill my role as a husband and father, largely determines the course of the family, your wife, your children, what the focus is, whether it's a God-honoring family, whether the center is Christ, and that's a huge responsibility. Ephesians chapter 5, let's read a few verses and expand on this a little bit. And hopefully in just a moment we'll see that you that are not fathers and husbands, or perhaps never will be, you can still listen to this message, because as a part of the body of Christ, it's good to know what your role is, what your responsibilities are. Because as a part of the body of Christ, you have a husband, and his name is Jesus Christ. Christ is the husband. He is the head of the body, and he is our husband. Let's read, I guess, verse 22. Verse 22 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. In Colossians, Paul said, as it is fit in the Lord, as it is appropriate. Sometimes, wives, you have to look past us men. You have to look beyond us. You have to look beyond our failings. You have to look beyond our human nature and look beyond unto the Lord. It's not always easy for you to do as Paul says. It's not easy for any of us to submit in any way. Submission is not something we like to do. Submit to anything, to any kind of structure, in fact. Our flesh does not like it. Our human nature does not like to submit in any way, whether it's to some structure or to some authority. Our human nature does not like to give itself up in order to honor somebody or something else. Our flesh just doesn't want to do that. So whether we're talking about wives and their responsibility, their role, or, as it says in fact in verse 21, telling us all to submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. It is just not something that comes naturally. Something that we have to, I like the phrase, one phrase that Brother Gary kept repeating in one of his messages, that you got to make it happen. If it's going to be done, you just simply have to make it happen. It doesn't come naturally. It doesn't come automatically. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Husbands, we have the greatest fathers, we have the greatest example. Young men, we have the greatest example of what it is to be a father and a husband, and that example is Christ Himself. He is the greatest example that we can follow. So again, if your children are grown, you still have a responsibility to your grandchildren. Perhaps you've never been married. Perhaps you don't have children. Perhaps you're beyond those years. Whatever your situation is, we as a part of the body of Christ, we can learn something, I hope, from this message, even though it's primarily focused towards husbands and fathers. There is a structure. God has prescribed a certain structure for the family. And it's not a structure that says the husband is better than the wife, or the husband is more important than the wife, or the husband is smarter than the wife. It's none of that. None of that. But I will say this, and you may take issue with me, but we'll talk about it from Scripture, and we'll, I think, be able to resolve the issue. The Bible also does not say that a marriage is a 50-50 proposition. None of you ladies said amen. I know how that feels. But it does not say that marriage is a 50-50 proposition. There's no 50-50. You know what there is? There's one. Two shall become one. Two shall become one. But there is a structure. There are roles and responsibilities that you men have that you don't give to your wife, that I don't expect her to fulfill. It's not her responsibility. Wives, there's things that you're responsible for that is a part of fulfilling this role in submission and honoring your husband. Submission doesn't mean that you bow down every time he walks in the door. Absolutely not. That's crazy. Submission means that you respect his role and what God has told him to do in His Word, not in some dream or some vision, but in His Word. You know, men, you can't go around saying, "Well, you know, God told me to do that. I had a dream the other night. God told me to do this," and it's one of the most. You know, it might be something totally contrary to God's Word. That wasn't God. That wasn't God speaking to you in that dream. But your role is and responsibilities are found in His Word. Submission on the part of the wife is respecting that role, respecting those responsibilities, and respecting God's Word for what He has told you men to do. Okay, so He says, and here's the comparison. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. But He didn't stop there. He said, and is the Savior of the body. Think about that. Think about the husband, and He compares it to Christ being the head of the church. But how is Christ the head of the church? What is one of the things that He's done? What has Christ done? He has saved. He has delivered. He is looked to as the deliverer, the Savior of the church, of the body. Fathers, husbands, you are to be looked to as not only the leader, but in a sense, the deliverer, the one who delivers the family, delivers them from a lot of things. We won't have time to get into all of that today. In that sense of the family structure, comparing your role and responsibility to that as Christ and the church. Isn't that amazing? He is the head of the church, and so there's that comparison. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. Husbands, you think about what Christ did for the church. You think about what Christ did for the body, for His body. You think about what Christ did for those that He loved. He laid down His life. He sacrificed. And now He is the provider of all that the body needs. You know, we hear a lot about husbands being the leader in the family, the spiritual leader in the family. The husband is every kind of leader in the family. He's supposed to be the leader of every aspect. Every aspect. Spiritually, yes. Physically and materially, yes. You are the provider. Here it is, right here in God's Word. As the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Why is the church subject unto Christ? Because Christ is the provider. How does He provide? Why did He provide? What motivated Christ to provide for the body? Love. Love. Christ doesn't save or lead or direct or instruct the body out of anger, out of spite, not arbitrarily, whatever whim may cross His mind. That's not the way Christ operates, if you will. Well, He does it with purpose. He does it with purpose and with a goal in mind. He has done it, and He is doing it with a purpose in mind. Fathers, husbands, you're to have a purpose. What's your goal? What do you want your family to look like? Well, if you're not sure about that, we'll you can find it in God's Word, and I'd be glad to help you. And I need some help. We will help each other figure out what it's supposed to look like. And the more we learn about what our family looks like, the greater you'll realize your responsibility and the more work you'll have to do. But you know what? Think about how Christ, what He accomplished as the Savior of the body, as the husband in the church, His bride. Can you imagine the joy? Well, that's what the Bible says. For the joy set before Him. Can you imagine the joy and the pleasure and the satisfaction, the peace that Christ, if I can put it this way, enjoyed as God accepted the work that He did, as Christ laid down His life as the Savior of the body? Can you imagine what joy there was in accomplishing and fulfilling the Father's will? In other words, think of Christ fulfilling His role and responsibilities. Think with me now. Fulfilling His role and responsibilities as the husband, as the head. And the joy He must have received, that's what we have before us, husbands. A lot of work, yes. A lot of sacrifice, yes. But what joy. What pleasure. Husbands, say amen. You know it's true. There's joy. There's pleasure. There's blessings. There's peace. There's a sense of meaning. There's a sense of being needed for something. As a husband, as a father, and as the leader of the family. He says, husband, now here's where we want to spend a little time, verse 25, where this is really, I mean, it's going right along with what I've already started to tell you. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. You're a husband, you're a father. You know what our role is, parents, mom and dad, grandparents? You know what one of our responsibilities is, especially with our young men, to raise them to be a leader in the family, leader of the home. To raise them to be godly husbands, godly fathers. And then likewise, our responsibility is to raise our daughters to be godly mothers and godly wives. Regardless of anything else, and listen to me, this is a hard thing to swallow, because I want the best for my daughters. I want the best of everything But you know what? It's not my responsibility to give them the best of everything. They didn't like that. They didn't want to hear that. It's not my responsibility to give them the best of everything, but it is my responsibility to do everything I can to instruct them on how to be godly mothers and godly wives. Now, that is my focus. That should be my primary responsibility. Likewise with our sons, to raise them to be godly husbands, godly fathers. Anything else that you can provide, anything else that you can, that you can, I want to say give, because we're not just to give everything. Part of their responsibility will be to learn how to make a living, how to provide for their families. And so you don't give them everything. You make them work for it a little bit. Learn how to do that. Because they've got to learn how to provide for their family. And then there's of course other things that's just as important. I'm going to say more important. And there's spiritual matters. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. Again, think about how Christ loved the church. He says he gave himself for it. Gave himself for it. Too many of us fathers and husbands today have too many hobbies. Too many hobbies. Nothing wrong with a hobby. Nothing wrong with a little something on the side that you enjoy doing. Maybe it's a little time to unwind. You know, as men, we need our man time. You know, we need that time. Somebody said, you know, man cave. We need those places. But it's not a place where we go and stay. And it's not a place that we should visit very often, really, when it comes down to it. At least if we visit it often, we don't need to stay there very long. That's not where we're supposed to be. That may be a place where we need to go from time to time, but our place is as a father. Our place is acting like a husband. Our place is acting like a father. And we have so many distractions. And we feel like we have so many responsibilities that once we've fulfilled all of those from a material standpoint, from a financial standpoint, that's enough. That's not the most important thing. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. Christ loved the church so much that he was willing to give his life in order to provide for everything that the church needed. The church needed. Children, sons and daughters, Christ provided everything that the church needed. Husbands, we are supposed to provide everything that our family needs. Not necessarily everything that our family wants, but everything that our family needs. A few things, a few wants along the way is nice, but it's not mandatory. It can be helpful, but it can be harmful too. Got to find that balance. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That he might sanctify and cleanse it. You know what the word sanctify means? It means to purify, to cleanse, or to set aside for a holy purpose. That's what Christ did for the church. He gave himself for it, and now he looks at the church as having been cleansed. Now there's a real application here. There's some eternal implications. Listen to me carefully. I'm not trying to, these are not big words, and I don't like to, and very rarely am able to use very big words. But there are eternal implications here when we think about Christ sacrificing himself for his bride. But there's a real practical application to this church right here, to this local body. Nowhere else in the world, I'm not saying this local body, but within the local assembly of the saints, whether it's here, whether it's down the road, wherever it is, wherever the local assembly of the saints is, there's no other place that you and I can enjoy such an intimate relationship with Christ. We cannot enjoy that kind of intimate relationship with Christ if we're not in the assembly of the saints. If we're not a part of, if we're not an active, vital part of the body. Hear me out now. It's a marriage. And if you've not gone through the marriage ceremony, when you're talking about the church, we're talking about baptism. And if you've not gone through the marriage ceremony, you will not enjoy that intimate relationship. I'm saying intimate. I'm not saying any relationship at all. I'm saying intimate relationship with Christ, because you've not gone through where He's been, and you've not submitted yourself as come in to be a part of His bride in that sense, in a real practical sense. There's a marriage ceremony. It's called baptism. And what joy it is to experience that and to be a part of that body, that bride, where especially when you are assembled together as the bride, that you commune with your husband, where you enjoy intimacy. I'll just say it that way, intimacy with Him. You're learning from Him, learning about Him. You're getting to know Him. You're forming a closer, more personal relationship with Him. You know, that's what it really comes down to. Your relationship with Christ. How is it? Well, okay, turn that around. How is my relationship with Christ? If you could ask Christ, hey, how's your relationship with Brother Matt? Be ashamed if He was willing to tell you. I would be ashamed. So ask yourself that question. I want to do what I can, and we all should do what we can to encourage and help enhance each other's relationship with Christ. But we're not, you know, comparing one another, you know, comparing us ourselves with one another. But that's what it comes down to. Your relationship with Christ, how is it? It will only reach this point, wherever that point is, if you're not an active and vital part of the assembly of the saints. It will only reach this point. The potential above that point is endless. It's endless. Where's that point? It's baptism. Baptism. You go through that, and then the potential is limitless. And I'm saying to you, child of God, if you've not been baptized, child of God, if you've not been baptized, you're missing out on so much. You're missing out on so much. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now listen to verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Okay, men, how much you like yourself? How much you love yourself? That sounds kind of strange language, doesn't it? We're not, you know, on one hand, we're not being in love with ourselves. I'm certainly not in love with myself. But this has to do with taking care of yourself. You provide for your own body, don't you? Husbands, what does it say? Men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. This has to do with providing and taking care of you. Men, you do that? You do that for yourself? A lot of you do very well with that. I mean, I see you're all healthy and strong, and that's wonderful. What little I ever had, I lost it. But we take care of ourselves. We take care of ourselves and we provide for ourselves. We don't hate our own bodies. He says we nourish and cherish. You know what that what that really means? Let's think about that for just a minute, because let me get another verse with you. Just jump ahead and get another verse. Read verse 29 again. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Remember the comparison now. What's the Lord done for you? Has He provided for you? Amen. Amen. He's provided for you. He may not have given you everything you wanted. He may not have come to you and provided what you thought you needed at that particular time. But brother, sister, He's provided for you. And I tell you what, He gave Himself. I tell you, if He never blesses you again in this life, you've gotten more than you ever deserved. The fact, amen, thank you. The fact that He even thought about you, thought about me, is more than I would ever deserve. Because what I really deserved was an eternal separation in fire, brimstone, torment, eternal woe and misery. That's what I deserve. Hell, that's what I deserve. So if he even thought about me just for that long, that's more than I ever deserved if he never blesses me again. So whatever my troubles are, he's provided much more than that for you. But there are times that we feel, I know, that where is he? Lord, where are you? Well, men, you don't hate your own flesh, right? You nourish it and you cherish it. Okay, hold on to that. Go down to go on down into chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You've got your responsibility towards your wife, just like Christ provided for his bride. And now he says, fathers, bring them up. Bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Basically the same phrase up there as nourish and cherish. The nurture and admonition of the Lord. So you have that responsibility. Just like Christ provided for the church, his bride, he also now nourishes and cherishes and provides for the children. Think about that. You can think about yourself as the bride of Christ, but we can also think about ourselves as the children. Sometimes we refer to the church as the mother of us all. It's a beautiful little picture there. The church was not what conceived us, but the church is instrumental in rearing us. Did you hear that? The church is not what conceived us as children of God, but the church has a major role in rearing us. Okay? That's a whole other subject. The nurture and admonition of the Lord. Men, think about Christ now. He nourishes and cherishes. He provides. He provides for his bride. We're to provide for our bride. We're to provide for our family. I wonder why he said, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Don't have time for that phrase. But what I'm saying is, why fathers? Why did he say, and ye fathers and mothers, provoke not your children to wrath? Why didn't he say, mothers and fathers, bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Because it's the father's responsibility. It's the primary responsibility of the father. Not solely, but primarily. Fathers, you are responsible. You may not actually spend as much time as your wife. You may not spend as much time as your wife does in teaching and instructing and all these things, because you do have a job to do. You've got work to do. We understand that. But you are ultimately responsible. Fathers, husbands, you're ultimately responsible. Young men, one day, if the Lord blesses you with a beautiful wife and children, you're going to be responsible for the rearing of your children and bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know what that means? That means education, educating them, training them. And it includes specifically whatever necessary discipline is called for. All of that's wrapped up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. How did the Lord provide? Again, what was he motivated by? Love. What motivates the Lord to chasten us and discipline us? Love. Not anger. Not provoking, as he says here. We don't provoke. God doesn't provoke us. There is a sense in which we are to provoke unto good works in a positive way. But he says provoke to wrath. We don't do that. Because that's not how God does things. That's not how the Lord does things. It is your responsibility, primary responsibility of the fathers, to educate, to train, to lead, to guide, to set the example, to provide. Where does it stop? It doesn't. Where did it stop with Christ? It didn't. He gave it all. He gave his life. Where does the responsibility for fathers end? It doesn't. Now, the role of the mother, yes, there's things that, and like I said, she may spend more time, actually, physically more time, and probably should. It's kind of like the education of your children in general. Whatever you decide to do in educating your children, there's public schools, there's private schools, there are home schools, there's Christian schools, whatever. Whatever you decide, hopefully through much prayer, It's ultimately, it's still your responsibility for what your children learn. It's your responsibility, parents, for what your children learn, for what they are taught. And ultimately, fathers, you have that primary responsibility. Husbands, let me go back up and read this. Husband loves your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. You know, we come together here, and from time to time, the Lord blesses us to learn something. And hopefully, when we leave, we're refreshed, we're renewed, and there is a cleansing effect that the gospel has on us. Okay? Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ has redeemed us. And we've been made whiter than snow. And in the sight of God, we are declared righteous and just and innocent in the sight of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. But the gospel comes along and reveals all of these things and has an effect on your life. The gospel serves to bring these things to light, and by that way has a cleansing effect in your life. Obedience to the gospel has a cleansing effect in your life. Obedience to the gospel, including baptism. Well, there's a lot more, and in fact, let's just jump down and wind it up right here at the end of chapter 5, verse 32. Paul says, this is a great mystery. I'd say it is. It is a great mystery. In a very practical way, it often escapes us fathers and husbands of what are we supposed to do. In that way, it's like it's clouded over. It is. It's kind of a mystery sometimes. But what does God's Word do? It reveals mysteries. It reveals mysteries. That's what the gospel does. It reveals. But Paul said, nevertheless, he says, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Your family, wherever you are, married, unmarried, you're all the children of somebody. Whatever age you are, whether you've ever been married, whether you used to be married, whatever your circumstances are, whether you have no children, whatever. Think about what Christ has done for you. He has provided the example in his relationship with the church. He has given us the structure of how our family ought to look. Now, we're human. And people talk about dysfunctional families. I don't know. I don't really like that term. But we've got different looking makeups to our families, don't we, sometimes? And because we're human. But nevertheless, we still have this pattern and this example as our goal to obtain Christ and his bride, providing for her and then bringing the children up in the nurture and admonition